Galatians chapter 1. Reading from verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And so on. We have considered something of the introduction to the Epistle to the Galatians. And in that introduction, we see something of the love that the Apostle Paul has for the church at Galatia. And now as he goes on to reprove them, we see something further of the way that the Apostle expresses his love for the church that he himself had preached in and had planted. The very gentle way in which he reproves them. He doesn't say, I marvel that you have that you are worthy of condemnation, or that you have overthrown the gospel. He says, I marvel that you have been removed. It's almost as though he speaks here in a very gentle way, and yet he is going on to say something to them that is very profound and very serious indeed, so that we see the love that the Apostle has for the church at Galatia. But secondly, and even more than that, is the love that he has for the gospel. Even though he loves the church at Galatia, yet he will say there is an anathema upon any church, any congregation, any people who will depart from the gospel. There is one thing that the Apostle loves more than anything, and that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has tasted the graciousness of God in Christ. He has witnessed the grace of God in his own experience. One who had persecuted the church of Christ, he now preaches the gospel of saving grace. And he knows himself a love of that gospel. This evening, we want to look at his wonder, his astonishment, his marvel. He says here, I marvel. There is something at which the Apostle is astonished at, something that brings him to wonder and to truly marvel. And we want this evening to look at that, and to secondly see his confidence at the end, to look first of all at his wonder, and then simply at the end to look at his great confidence, the confidence that the Apostle has. And we ought also to take note of his wonder, and we ought also to take note of his confidence. First of all, to take note of what he wonders at, what he marvels at, what he is astonished and surprised at. And it's as he says this, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. You can almost feel the pain that goes through the heart of the Apostle when he writes this and when he recalls what he's going on to speak about, the marvel and the wonder that he has. It's like a pain that is in him, a sorrow that he is experiencing when he hears word back of what is going on at Galatia, that they are so soon removed from the gospel and from God himself. We can go through the scripture, and we too might marvel at how quickly the Lord's people in occasions will depart from the truth. We come to the foot of Sinai, and within 40 days, the children of Israel offering up sacrifices to a golden calf. In such a very short period of time, they fall away. But we can even come on further in the history of Israel, and we can see King David. What a king David is. What a ruler David is over Israel. And yet there is an Absalom comes in and sits at the gate. And how he takes the people and the heart of the people, he wins their heart away from King David. Absalom wins the heart of these people away from his father. And now we come to Galatians, and there are those who come in to the church of Galatia, and they seek to win the heart of the Galatians away from the Apostle Paul and away from the gospel itself. How quickly they fell away, and how quickly they were departing. And what happens in Galatia is not unique. I remember a couple in on the island of Skye, and they, for a time, embraced the gospel. They seemed to be so very enthusiastic for the gospel. And for a time, they progressed well. But then a time came when they simply fell away. And what the scripture says about such a person is all very true. That having once tasted of the heavenly gift and falling away, they are like the dog going back to the vomit. They wouldn't even speak about the gospel or the things of Christ. The warning that the apostle gives here is even true in our own day. And what was wrong? What was wrong with the church at Galatia? Well, surely what is manifested here is that they had not grown and they had not been rooted in the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. People today decry doctrine. They don't want to hear doctrine. They want to perhaps hear cozy sermons, or they want to hear evangelistic sermons. All these things have their place. But let us take a look at what happens in Galatia. Here is a church that has not had its roots down into the doctrine of saving grace. They are not rooted in the Word of God. And when the storm comes, they are like seedlings, if you ever plant seedlings that are not rooted. And the wind comes, and some of them may be blown out altogether. Some of them may fall over. Some of them may be disturbed. What is it that enables a church and a congregation or an individual to be able to overcome the assaults of the evil one? To be able to overcome the assaults of those who would seek to take you away from the truth that it is in Jesus? The answer is to be well rooted and well grounded in the things of Christ, in the Word of God. That we would have this place filled with the doctrine of Christ. Because if we are not well grounded in the Word of God, and if we are not well rooted in the things of the gospel, then when the day comes and the storm comes, and we are only like children drinking milk, then we will be disturbed. Then we may, like the church at Galatia, be carried away into other ways. And it's not the first time we have surely come across young people or people embracing the gospel. But before they are rooted and grounded in the truth, they are away down some other road. They take up doctrines that are not biblical because they have not had time, and they have not taken the time to be rooted and grounded in the things of Christ. If there is anything that we need in our own day and generation, it is that we would be rooted and grounded in the doctrine of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Galah is a word that means fallen or carried away. And Jerome says that it is almost as though the apostle here is playing on the Hebrew word galah. He says, you are really playing the Galatian, truly, when you're being carried away and you're being tossed about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. What he's saying here and what he goes on to say later on about justification by faith, he's saying, be well grounded in these things, that you will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But that when anyone asks you what your hope is, you will be able to give an answer in that day for the hope that you have within you. Galah, fallen or carried away. What was it that the apostle here so marveled at? It's as though he's astonished. He marvels. It's causing him pain. But he's saying, there is an astonishing thing that has happened among you. You have been removed, first of all, from him that has called you. You have been removed from him that has called you. When the Apostle Paul here speaks about him that has called you, it's surely not himself that he's referring to. He stands here as an apostle. He will defend his apostleship. But he's not saying here that it is the apostle himself who has called them. It is God himself, and even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that has called them. And they are removed from that calling. He's marveling that they were called by God, even by the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he marvels that they have removed from him that has called them. Think of the very nature of the call of the gospel. The gospel and the call of the gospel tied together. You go to Hugh Martin. And Hugh Martin speaks in terms of the covenant of grace. God's covenant with his own Son. And the gospel call is the call of God to those who are as yet outside of that covenant. It is a call to come in within the bounds of the covenant. It is a call from the covenant of grace. It is a call of God the Father himself. Think of what the Lord himself says. Many are called, but few, he says, are chosen. In Romans chapter 8 and at verse 30, he speaks in these terms. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Paul and the apostle to the Corinthians, he says, by God you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son. When the gospel is preached, it is not the minister. It is not the apostle who was calling them. It is God himself that was calling them. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is not only speaking of the sovereign grace and the power and the divine activity within that call. In calling sinners from out of darkness into his marvelous light. Within that call there is a power, a divine activity that will draw his own people to himself. But also within it, there is that which leaves man responsible. There is that which leaves man without excuse. And it's the apostle as he addresses the church at Galatians here. He is astounded because he says it's not just those who are preaching. It is also you who are receiving. Look at what he says later on. If any man preach any other gospel unto you other than that ye have received, let him be accursed. It's not just if any man preach, but it's if any, and that which you have received. You today, he says, are accepting a gospel that is not a gospel. And he says, it's astounding. I marvel that you have been removed from him who has called you. You have been removed from God himself. And you see, isn't it wonderful how in the scripture we might think to ourselves, works against faith. It's maybe a light thing, it's a slight thing. You have places of worship today, and you have preachers who will preach salvation by works. And we take it almost as something that is, well, it happens. But what the Apostle Paul says here is that's not any small thing. That's not any light thing. It is a departing from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Man's responsibility set forth here, and the responsibility of the Galatian church set forth here by the apostle. I remember the story once of a man, you may have heard it yourself, of a man who raised up under the sound of the gospel, listened to the gospel all his days, and as a young man went off the rails, was caught by the police, taken to the police station by his father, and at the stairs of the police station, his father said to him, "You go." And he said, "Well, you're not coming in with me." And he says, "No. This is your responsibility. This is as far as I'll go. You go in there. You're responsible." And it suddenly struck him that one day he will come before a holy God, and his mother, father, brother, sister, nobody else will stand before him. He will be there before the judgment seat on his own, and he will have to give an account. The Lord used that and blessed that to him. The Galatians being told here that you are departing from God when you go to a gospel that speaks of salvation by works, and you're responsible. You're departing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only were they departing from him who called you, but what he had called them to, into the grace of Christ. The gospel of saving grace. The good news, the most glorious discovery of divine grace that you will ever see manifested. The grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The undeserved favor of God. Here is the purpose of that calling. He says, you have been him who has called you. Well, here is the purpose. And here is what he's calling you into. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how he brings out a contrast here between legalism on the one hand and the grace of the gospel on the other. One who's calling you into that. He says, oh, the apostle marvels. Not only at him who has called them, but into which he is calling them. That is the grace of the gospel. Where there are the greatest discovery of blessings, justification, adoption, sanctification, glorification, and all of the grace of God. Think of the glory, the simplicity, and the freeness of that gospel. Come without money and without price. Why do you labor for that which is not bread? The apostle is astounded that this church at Galatia would ever seek to give up the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and put in its place a gospel of works. When the gospel of grace is the most glorious display of the glory of God and the most glorious discovery of the divine grace that you would ever have. The Apostle and Paul knew that by experience. He was unworthy. Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee concerning the law, he says, blameless. But when the law became alive, he says, I died. I died. There was nothing that he could come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I am worthy. When he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was brought to his knees. Who art thou? Who art thou? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And if you are going to find salvation, Saul, then you will only find it in unmerited grace. It's as though the apostle is marveling at who has called them and removing them from the very gospel. And he says, you're so soon removed. And that's not just a short time, and it would appear that it was such a short time. Why was it a short time? They weren't grounded in the truth. But it was a short time, but not only the short time, the contrast in this contrast is an absolute contrast. It's an absolute contrast, not only in time, but he says, in the beginning that you had. What a glorious beginning. And you're so soon removed from that glorious beginning. You began to run, you ran well, but how quickly you've departed from this place to that. What, how profound. Almost from hot to lukewarm and departing. And perhaps we this evening can look in our own experiences and could look perhaps back on our early Christian days. And there was much perhaps zeal in our early Christian days that today we would say was wrong. Perhaps we might look back when the Lord began to deal with us and say that there was much of youth about it. And like the psalmist, my sins and faults of youth do thou, O Lord, forget. But by the same token, perhaps as the years have passed by, we can say that we have become that bit less hot, a bit more lukewarm on the things of the gospel. Should that not astound us, perhaps, if that is the case? Should that not be that when we look back at how we were when the first Lord dealt with us, and how perhaps that zeal, that early zeal has worn, has become that wee bit less, and that we are less, perhaps, zealous for the glory of God, zealous for the things and the honour of Christ, zealous for the gospel? Should we not marvel that that is the case with any church? That is the case with any denomination? But that's the case with any individual, that we would, having tasted and seen the things of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should become that wee bit less zealous. Look at the Apostle Paul. He's saying, you began, he says, you began, but he says, now, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him and from the gospel. So soon removed, not just in time, but in remembering, so soon removed from there to here. And you're not what you once were, he's saying. And I marvel at that. Because as I am in bonds, I am in my way to Rome, and I love the gospel. I love the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the things of the gospel of saving grace, because it enthralls me that Christ Jesus came into this world and died. But not only that, it enthralls me that my sins are forgiven, not by works, but by grace. It enthralls me that I am saved by grace. The whole of the gospel, the good news, enthralls me. And he says, that's what I want from you at Galatia. That you would be enthralled with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not only that he was marveling from whom they had departed and from what they had departed and how quickly and how far they had departed, but he even defines something of that when he says, another gospel. You have gone to another gospel. First part is his wonder, and now we come on to his confidence. His confidence. In the midst of these verses 6 to 9, you not only see how the apostle marvels at what was happening in Galatia, but you see his confidence. His utter confidence in the gospel of what he had preached, what God had given him to preach. His utter confidence. He was so confident that he was able to say that even if I come to you and were to preach any other gospel, he brings the curse upon his own head. He would bring the curse upon an angel in heaven. He goes in verse 8 to hypothesize. He brings in hypothetical situation. Pretend, he says, that I were to come and preach another gospel to you. An angel from heaven were to come and to preach another gospel to you. Then he says, anathema, cursed of God. That's the utter confidence the apostle has in his gospel. And anything that would detract from that gospel cannot be. It's not the gospel plus something else. Or it's not the gospel minus something else. It's the gospel alone. Because he says there is no other gospel but this gospel. We live in a day when it's the gospel plus. Gospel plus traditions of the fathers. With Roman Catholicism. Or with the charismatics. It's the gospel plus something else. Remember, maybe mentioned this to you before, having charismatics down in Arran. And when you talk to them, it's as though they're unwell. But then you discover it's the gospel plus something else. That's what God's saying to them. Nobody else but to them. The apostle says, it's the word of God, the scripture. Anything that is added to or taken away means that the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is not finished. It means that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel itself is inadequate. It fails. You need the gospel plus your own something else. And he's saying here that you cannot have Christ and the law. Christ and your own righteousness. Christ and your own works. Chapter 5 and verse 2, he sums it up He sums it up here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That one instance of the law, a turning to the law, and Christ and his work means nothing. It undermines, and it is either one or the other. It cannot be two, because the two cannot walk side by side except they be agreed. And there is nothing but the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that will stand beside it, equal it, or be added to, nor taken away from it. That's what the apostle is saying. And you know, when the devil comes, he doesn't come among the church at Galatia as a devil. He doesn't come that way. The devil rarely comes as a devil. He didn't even come to Adam in the Garden of Eden as the devil. He came with the word of God corrupted in his mouth. The devil will come as an angel of light. And there were those who were coming among the church of Galatia, and they were coming in as angels of light. But they were taking away from the gospel. That's why the apostle says, not only if I come, but if even an angel from heaven were to come. If the devil appears as an angel of light, if he speaks not according to this word, it's because there is no light in him, says the apostle, says the prophet. What a confidence the apostle has in his word when he can with so vehement zeal bring the very curse of God upon the head of himself, were he even to bring any other gospel than that. And he now moves out of hypotheses, of a hypothetical situation, and he says, you're in the very middle of it. So I say now again, you're in the middle of it. There's the hypothesis. If anyone will come with another gospel, let him be accursed. Now he says, you're in the very middle of that. So I say it now to you again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He's saying that no man sit in judgment over the word of God. You know what Martin Luther said? Martin Luther echoed the words of the apostle as he spoke here. He said to his own congregation in Wittenberg, he said to them, if Augustine or Paul or an angel were to come and preach any other gospel to you, then let Martin Luther be anathema. Maranatha. See the confidence in the gospel. How we ought to this evening rejoice, first of all, in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us embrace that gospel, the gospel of saving grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let us not only embrace it, let us love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us have a confidence in that grace, undeserved favor that the gospel that the apostle here loved. And the benefits that come, justification, adoption, sanctification, joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and all of it without money and without price, freely bestowed by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what the apostle here says? Accursed be the preacher, and accursed be the hearer, and accursed be the doctrine that embraces anything else, anything other than sovereign, saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ.